know about you guys, when I come to the Christmas holiday, when I come to this time of year, I have some great memories. I ran my new go-kart into the back of my mom's parked car Christmas morning, 1986 or 7 around that time. Spent the day in the ER. That was great. Remember, you know, they're not all that bad, I promise. There's some of them. No, I'm kidding. You have memories. You remember sights, sounds, smells maybe, something cooking. Just things about Christmas that I love. And back in the day, it used to be after Thanksgiving you could start having those, right? But now it's like after Halloween, apparently. So we're going to begin a new series today. We're just going to call it Symbols of Christmas. In the next 4 weeks, we're going to reintroduce you maybe to some things that we read in the story of the Christmas story that are things that maybe I can see or things that maybe I can hear or things that we experience during Christmas time. The goal in all of this is not to try to make all of these things inherently Christian, because some of them are just tradition, but they find root many times in Scripture. And so when we see these things or when we hear these things or experience these things, my goal over the next couple of weeks is to get you to think about these things and think about where they occur in Scripture and how they relate to the story of Jesus. And today we're going to start with one of my favorites, the angel. Now, did anybody have something like this on the top of their tree in the late 70s or early 80s? Okay. I searched Google Images for a long time. There are a lot of angel pictures on Google Images, just FYI, okay? And I had to find the right one, because our angel that was on our tree had that kind of hair. I don't know what that's made out of. Don't want to know. She had paper gold wings, and then she was made just kind of a paper. We obviously got her at Montgomery Ward or something like that, probably, okay? We had all kind of different Christmas trees. When you grow up in the country, sometimes Dad would go out when the year was lean. He would go out and cut down a cedar tree out of the woods, and that would be our Christmas tree. Some years we had an artificial tree that came out of a box that looked like it had been in that box since 1914, and you had to maneuver the limbs to make it look somewhat like a tree. Anybody have one of those trees? Now you just pop it and they go, poof, they're like that. We didn't have that in the day, okay? But no matter what kind of tree we had, there she was on the top, sometimes like this, usually up there, looking down over us in the living room. I just remember, I remember walking in, and it was just such a cool time of year to see that angel, you know, on top of the tree. It's a great reminder that God was with us, that God was coming to be man. And so when we look at angels in the Bible, in the Christmas story, they appear a few times. They appear very early on in Luke to John, the Baptist parents. Zechariah gets a visit from an angel. Today, the angel Gabriel, we'll look at this story, comes and visits Mary. And then, you know, the angels appear, the good part, at the end, when the shepherds are out in the field and they appear in the skies and they announce with a praise, "He has come. Glory to God in the highest." I want to invite you today, though, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is where we'll begin, obviously, our journey through the Christmas story, foretelling the birth of Jesus. The angels appear on the scene, one angel appears on the scene today. The book of Luke is important. Even the introduction to Luke is important. For you see that the book of Luke was written to a man named Theophilus. Luke was a historian, a writer, who was very diligent in his research. He said to Theophilus, "I'm going to write this to you because I've researched it, I've checked it. I want you to know this is accurate. This is how the story of Jesus happened." We come to the first part of the chapter, and we see, as I mentioned before, the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and announces the birth of John the Baptist, who would go before Jesus, would tell of his coming. But our text today begins in verse 26 when the angel visits Mary. Let's read together this today. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. May God bless the reading, the teaching of his word today. What a beginning to the Christmas story, isn't it? God is becoming man. Heaven is coming down to earth. And the way that this is announced is not any kind of normal announcement. I think it's really interesting now that we have these announcements. This is a new phenomenon for you, these gender reveal announcement things, right? Super elaborate. I like it. It's fine. Chris, great job with the basketball goal recently, you know. I mean, there's some great ones going on, right? That's kind of a new deal, right? You know, when something is announced, now we're going to have a party about it, right? Which I like cake. I'm fine with that. So, you know, have a party. Well, this kind of announcement was bigger than anything because it involves an angelic visit. Nothing like this is anything, none of us have experienced anything like this, okay? When God is going to become man, it's a big deal. And so he sends down an angel to announce this birth. And we're going to walk through this story today and try to make sense of it and try to gain some insight from it for us in our world today, in our lives today. I'm going to give you three words that I kind of want you to just, you don't have to write them down, write them down in your mind, because there are three pieces to this story. There's divinity, which is God, okay? There is mystery, because anytime we deal with things we don't fully understand, it's a mystery to us. And then there's history. Now, how is there history? Because Luke would attest to the fact that these things actually happened. This really happened. God became man. Jesus Christ was born. Divinity, mystery, and history. I'm sorry that they kind of rhyme. That was not on purpose, okay? So when we begin, we have to come to this passage literally on our knees, trying to gain understanding from it, because if we're not careful, we'll turn this into something where we just kind of gloss it over. We're like, okay, God became man. Great. Next in the story. What's next? We can't just make it that light, because it's certainly not that light. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us that this story, which is what is so beautiful about Christmas, requires a childlike faith. What's so great about children at Christmas time? They just are in wonder, aren't they? They just love everything that there is to about Christmas. They open their eyes up wide, and man, they're just excited about all that's happening. Man, I got to be a shepherd in the play. I remember I was the innkeeper one time in the play. It was great, you know. I had one line, no room. There you go. It's perfect. So, you know, I nailed it, but Hollywood never called me. So, we love it. We're just great. We love that childlike faith. And Jesus even says in the Gospel of Matthew, he said, "Lord, I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them to the little children." In other words, that's the kind of faith it takes to come to the story of Mary and the angel visit, isn't it? I need to have a childlike faith. I need to have a wonder of the mystery of all that God is revealing here in Scripture. And so when we come to this I want you to believe it, because it's one of those deals that if you don't believe it, you're never going to understand it. You're never going to understand it unless you begin by just believing it. So when we look at the text here back in our Bible, beginning in verse 26, we see the angel Gabriel comes again the second time that he's come in the book of Luke. He's already appeared to Zechariah to tell Zechariah that his wife was going to have a son. John the Baptist was going to be born. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were barren. Zechariah doubted. He said, I don't know how this can be. The same angel now comes to Mary. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary, says to her, hey, I have a message for you. Now, he ends the speech in the end, down on verse 37. He says, Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. I kind of wish, and I bet you might think this, I wish he would have started there. He's like, Mary, I'm here. Just remember, nothing is impossible with God. But he put that on the end. He's going to give her a lot of information before he gets to that point. And so we see he comes with a message, a life-changing message for this young girl, and says, Mary, nothing's going to be impossible with God. But before he gets to that point, he gives her a lot of information. Mary and Joseph are betrothed. That's not a word that we use. It is a very binding form of engagement. Only divorce could separate them at this point. They were not fully consummated in their marriage, but they were committed to each other enough that a divorce would have been necessary to separate them at this point. And it's at this point in their relationship where divinity really breaks into humanity, breaks into history. An interesting note, if you're a study just of Scripture, you can look at this. Zechariah had the same visit from an angel earlier as Gabriel, and Zechariah was troubled at the sight of the angel. Zechariah said, oh, there's an angel. In Mary's story, we actually don't hear that she was at all troubled by the sight of the angel. You might notice in your Bible there, she was troubled, verse 29, at the saying of the angel. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Now, that's interesting. I don't know about you. I've not seen an angel. Maybe I have. Let me rephrase that. I haven't seen one that I could call by name an angel. Mary was not disturbed for some reason at the sight of the angel, but that the angel had said, greetings to you, O favored one. Now, that's just interesting, isn't it? Mary's story is full of all kind of what we might just call oddities or mysteries, isn't it? Because she gets this visit. An angel comes down and speaks to her, and she says, I wonder why he said that. Why I'm troubled at the saying. It's not that uncommon of a saying. The saying was actually said almost word for word to Gideon in the Old Testament. It appears in a couple other places in Scripture, so we don't know. Maybe angels didn't always speak to women. We don't know. But Mary was troubled at the saying of the angel. Came down and spoke to her and said, greetings, O favored one. Why had Mary found favor in God's eyes? Was it because she was such a great person? She was so highly educated or so highly favored because she had all the things figured out? I doubt that. Full of favor really means full of grace. Full of grace. God's sovereign choice of a young girl, a very young girl by some accounts, was not because of Mary's goodness or because of Mary's greatness, but because of the greatness of God in choosing her. Perhaps he knew her spirit, as we'll see in just a minute, her ability to simply be humble and understand all that God had for her. Verse 30, here we go. The angel begins to give her some decrees. Angel appears, greets her. She's troubled. Here's what he says. I'll paraphrase. Don't be afraid. You're going to have a son. You're going to call him Jesus. He's going to be great. He's going to be the Son of God. He's going to have the throne of David. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary, do you have any questions? Yeah, a few. Isn't that great? He gives her all these things. All this is going to happen. All this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Not only is he telling what's going to happen, he's also giving titles of Jesus. Did you see that? He's going to be the Son of God. He's going to reign on the throne of his father David. His kingdom will have no end. Isaiah, Daniel, go read those prophecies. All of these things are being fulfilled, Mary, in this baby boy. They're all going to be fulfilled. I don't know about you, but I might have a few questions. Mary says,
verse 34. How?
Hey, angel, I don't want to spoil this for you, but I haven't been with a man. And I think you understand how babies are made, right? I don't know a man. Bible, no. Okay? How can this be? I try to put yourself in this position, folks. I mean, I was thinking about this week. I mean, the angel comes down, he decrees all these things to you. And I mean, I think that'd be my response. How is this to be? And how will this happen? And that's normally our response when divinity breaks into history. And when someone who is timeless, like God, breaks into the life of those of us who are bound by time. It's the response of someone who is frail, like we are, when we're confronted with someone who is all-powerful. We say, how? I don't understand. Verse 35, all those words that he said, all those things he says to her, the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. You understand that the birth of Christ is unparalleled in history. This doesn't happen. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul was writing to Timothy about the mystery of faith, and he says, great indeed is the mystery of godliness. He said, he was manifested in the flesh. God became man. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was proclaimed among the nations. He was believed on in the world, and he was taken up into glory. And Paul says, that is indeed a mystery, isn't it? For you see, the Son of God was born, and yet he always was. Riding in the car with little Drew in the back seat, the boy likes to ask questions, okay? And maybe you've had a child like this. You're driving down the road one day, and a child of yours or mine says, hey, Dad, where was I before I was born? Go back and watch your Netflix again. Watch a movie or something. Weren't you playing a video game? Here's some candy, right? It's tough for us to answer that. Well, you weren't. What? Where do you even go with that one, right? But Jesus, listen, was before he was born. He's the only one that can say that, folks. You understand that his birth is a mystery because it's unlike any other. And it's a mystery to us because, listen, in our finite minds, we can't ever fully grasp all that God is and all that divinity is. Yet it happened. And the angels came and announced to a young girl that the Son of God was going to be born, Mary, of you. Going to be born of you, and you are going to call his name Jesus. When does it seem that angels show up in history in the Bible? When something mysterious. Think about the resurrection. Jesus' body has been laid in a tomb. And the disciples go out and the ladies go out to prepare, to put some spices on his body. And they show up and the stone is rolled away. Do you remember who was there? The angels were there. They were there. The angel was there. Said, he's not here. He's risen. They show up when we can't explain it, don't they? And they give us insight and wisdom into what God is doing. And we see that right here. And as we mentioned before, verse 37, with God, nothing is impossible. You know, that same verse is found, that same phrase is found in Genesis chapter 18 in the story of Abraham and Sarah, when Abraham didn't believe that God could give them a promised son, Isaac. And he said, with God, nothing is impossible. Now, we have to be careful with that. We can't just take that and twist that into something that it's not. It's not, I can do anything. You know, I can do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. Here's the caveat to that. If things are willed and wanted by God, there is nothing that's impossible. God desired that his son become flesh, and therefore it is not impossible. So that's what we see, verse 37, with God, nothing is impossible. This life-changing mystery, church, as we begin the Christmas season, requires that we stretch our minds a little bit, doesn't it? It requires us to stretch our thinking just a little bit. It requires us to go beyond just a basic understanding, because we can't just do the easy parts of Scripture. We can't just do the easy stuff. God being made man is not something that we trivialize. You know what I'm trying to say, okay? It's not something that we can just gloss over. It happened. And B.H. Carroll, who was a great theologian, who was Southwestern Seminary here in Fort Worth, said this. He said, if you can't accept this miracle, God becoming man, if you can't accept this miracle, then don't even bother trying to accept all the rest of them, because this is where it begins. If God can become man in the flesh, then he can heal the sick. He can cause the blind to see. He can raise the dead. And so you start right here. It's a mystery, but it happened. And if we believe that God became man, and if we believe that God took on flesh, then I'm going to tell you, there's nothing in our lives that he can't handle. One more part here. Mary's response. Here's what she says. Mary says, verse 38. She says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Now that's exactly how you would have responded, isn't it? Just go ahead and say it. Yeah, that's exactly how I would have responded. Yes, Lord, whatever you say, let it be to me. I'd love to tell you that I wouldn't have 7,000 more questions, but I guarantee you I would. And many of you would too, right? Yet Mary, in this state of humility, in this state of grace, says, Lord, let it be to me. You know, there's a part of the story we don't talk about a lot, because we kind of get into Luke and we miss some other parts. The Gospels are made to be taken together. You have to take them all together. And I didn't put this on the screen, but I want you to be reminded of the fact that, did you know Joseph had an angelic visit also? Joseph had an angelic visit to help him with this situation as well. Back in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph found out, you imagine that conversation. Mary comes home from a visit from Gabriel. Hey, Joseph, I made you a nice meal. I want you to sit down for just a minute, okay? Got a little news for you. I'm pregnant. And Joseph probably goes into, well, I've got some issue with that, Mary, because I'm not the father, I know. And Joseph, though, Matthew 1 says, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But divinity breaks into history again. Hang on, here's what it says. As he was considering these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. You see God breaking into the lives of people and sharing with them his plan and sharing with them his purpose in this. You see, there's majesty found in the birth of Jesus. There's beauty found in the birth of Jesus. There's mystery found in the birth of Jesus. But I want to leave you with a statement today, using some of the words that we came up with, and this is just what I want you to take with you. It seems to us a great mystery when divinity is introduced into history. It seems a great mystery because we often don't understand it. May our response be that as of Mary, instead of doubt, may our response be submission and faith. Does the God of the universe have a plan? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he has a plan for your life, that he has a plan for this church, that he has a plan for his people? Then you believe it. then you know that when divinity comes in and when we get a message saying, what does that look like? I don't know, because it looks different for every one of us. When God speaks to us, he speaks to all of us in different ways. When he speaks to us, may we find ourselves submissive. And may we find ourselves walking in faith. Now listen, I can't tell you you're going to get a visit from an angel today. If you do, let me know. I'd like to speak to you, okay? I can't tell you that's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you, God speaks to us today. He speaks to his children through his Spirit. He may speak through other people. I don't know how he reveals himself to you, but I know he reveals himself, because throughout the Bible, he never stopped revealing himself. Church, during this season, during this holiday season, when you see an angel on top of the tree or at the nativity scene or when you see one somewhere, what I want you to remember is that God is intervening in the lives of his people. He always has. Until he comes, church, he always will. May we be found faithful to listen and obey. Let's bow for just a moment. My question for you today as we wrap up is pretty simple. The key figure in the story is not Mary. It's not the angel. Those are important parts of the story. But the key figure in today's story is the Christ who was born. And like the old hymn that we used to sing when I was a kid, it said, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Have you given God lordship over your life? Have you given him authority over your life? If he comes to you, if he reveals himself to you, can you say, like Mary, let it be to me according to your word? Maybe today you just need to take a moment and ask God, Lord, give me a heart of submission and a heart of faith to follow after you. Maybe you're here today and you don't know this Jesus that we speak of. There is no better time of year than this Christmas season than for us to come together and find out that he is indeed the Savior of the world, the one who came to save his people from their sins. And he can be that for you in your life today. If you need to learn more about how to have a relationship with him, our prayer partners are here. I'll be up front. We'd love to talk with you about that and share with you how you can know the good news that a Savior was born, the one who came to save his people. So Father, in this time as we stand and sing, we do pray that God, you would be glorified, that you would find us obedient in this place. God, may you, Lord, may you, like Mary, God, may you soften our hearts to the point where we can say, Lord, I don't fully understand how this can happen, and yet I trust you. I believe you. Let it be to me, just as you said in your word. God, may you be glorified in our response to that, Lord. May you find us faithful. May you find us holy. God, during this time as we stand and sing, I pray that you would move in the hearts of people. If they need to come pray with a prayer partner, just get on our knees wherever we are. God, may you move in this place. Your Spirit is here. Fall on this place in fresh power. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name.